step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Can you feel the power? Can you feel the power? Feel the power of Double X.
Positive Power 21.org. Internet Radio.
You are listening to Jerry Royce Live Worldwide Podcast.
Hey, hey, hey. My name is Davis and I'm from Haiti, but I live in Dominican Republic. I'm here, Positive Power 21, Jerry Royce Live Worldwide.
That's right, you tell him, little buddy. What's up, family? You're listening to Late Night. Late Night with Jerry Royce Live. Worldwide, right here on Positive Power. Don't worry, Chad Christian Media. Hope you had a great week. So much in the news, but we all hanging in there. That's right, we all hanging in there. Yeah, I talked to somebody today, said they had COVID 4 times. Man, ooh, what are we living in? Anyway, welcome again to Positive Power. We got a great show, great show. We got a young man from North Carolina on the show. He's here to tell us all about how he was favored, how he got his wife. That's right, we be wandering through life, wondering, you know, when is that special person going to pop up? But we always have in our mind what we want. I know my sister used to have like a picture of her mind of her perfect man. So maybe God hasn't made him yet. That's what I'm saying. But anyway. That's what happened, y'all. But sometimes, you know, God sends you someone different. Complete opposite of what you was wishing for. That's right. He do it his way. That's right. Anyway, Kelly Holland is here with me tonight. Remember, she was out in Greece hanging out. That's right. In a beautiful, the beautiful country of Greece. I've seen some wonderful pictures. I traveled there many times on Google Maps. I had a great time because I was safe and I didn't have to travel. Spent my whole day in the airport. On a plane. But anyway, Kelly, I probably saw more grease than Kelly saw. What's up, Kelly Holland? How you doing?
Ain't you a little troublemaker today? I swear for God. Hey, 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 Batman. Hey, Baltimore. How is everybody?
Yeah, yeah. We all.
Not
we,
you,
we.
Batman. Not you.
That's right. I've been everywhere.
How's everything?
Remember the day we traveled to South Africa with that young lady when we had on Zoom? That was fun.
And I was just talking about her to someone recently. You know, it was fun showing her America via Zoom. It was fun in our neighborhoods and other you know, Black populated landscapes that's doing well. Because she had a fear of visiting because of the Black Lives Matter movement that was inspired from all of the police brutality. She was afraid she would be brutalized if she came to America. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, we had to show her that that's not everyday life, but it is a major part of our concerns here in America.
That's right. And same with their country sometimes. I mean, look how many years we were listening to what was going on in South Africa with apartheid, remember?
About it.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
I mean, that wasn't on my map of visiting. And I actually have a cousin that lives there and does a tremendous business. Yeah, he's raising 2 children.
So, amen. Yeah, I heard the cost of living is very inexpensive compared to what we pay here, and it allowed people to make their money stretch.
Yeah, he has a really nice house too. I think it's like a rancher.
They're beautiful. The construction over there is beautiful.
Yeah, he runs his own. He runs a private school with 30 kids, math and biology, and he does music production out of New York. So he's making it happen. I think he does some other things too, like write wills and stuff like that. So he's making it happen. But just imagine him in Maryland. Especially in Maryland, you need a jump start, man, to get your business off the ground. Unless you got 9 to 5.
Truly, it's hard to get stuff going here, but praise God for your friend, man. And Batman knows people, y'all, so tune into the station. Yeah. Okay?
Yeah, that's my cousin. He's like my brother. We grew up together, I think I'm like a couple months older than him. Yeah, but our moms grew up together in the same household. Shout out to him. His sister doing her thing too. She in real estate. It's funny, since I've been talking to her about real estate, and of course, now a lot of real estate agents are making millions and millions of dollars, selling, because she sold like 2 homes that was worth $1 million here in Maryland. So they cleaning up right now. So this is kind of like their Christmas, their Macy's, how Macy's make all that money Christmas, and then Home Depot clean up in the spring.
It's that time right now for real.
Right. Okay. And I've been watching a lot of these shows lately. I've been following this guy named Trey in Atlanta. He's like one of the, best-selling black agents, and he's been showing all these beautiful luxury homes in Atlanta and doing his thing. He actually came to Baltimore. He was on Route 40 in Catonsville and bought a Maybach. I saw on Instagram. So I hit him up and said, "Yeah,
you folks."
I know. I said, "And guess what? He spelled Catonsville wrong too." I said, "I had to straighten him out." Yeah.
Oh my gosh! Don't come here spending your money and you don't know the city you in.
He spelled it like Canton. He spelled Canton. Man, it's Caden. I had to spell it for him. Like,
that's all right. He went too far.
That's all right. But at least he spent his money here, with a brother. Because I think his brother was the salesman, so that was cool.
Keep it in the brown. Amen.
That's right. But it's motivational to see, young guys like him doing that thing. And it's funny about him because, sometimes when people show off their luxury, like he say he has like a couple of properties himself, different parts of Atlanta. He can run in and run out and change. And he owns like a couple of automobiles. And sometimes it look kind of brattish when people show off their Ferraris. Because he had a Ferrari, Maybach, and a Rolls Royce.
That's the level of car he's on. So I understand the purchases now.
Certain level of car I'm at.
I don't really want to buy under it if the good Lord allow me to keep going lateral
up.
So I would prefer to go up, but we'll take a lateral.
There you go. But it's like, sometimes it look kind of brattish sometimes when people do it, but for him, it was inspiring, and everybody was saying the same thing. It was very inspiring because it was part of his business, like you said. It was part of where he is. He's selling $1 million. You can't be pulling up in no Honda.
You better not. I don't want to see you. Or the standard Mercedes. That ain't going to cut it. Right. $1 million houses. I need to be a cut above.
And he was very strategic, too. Very strategic because depending on who his client is, he would actually hire his cousin to drive him in the Maybach to meet those certain clients. Because he had athletes.
That's how you get the sale done. That's how you get the sale done.
Yep.
That brother wasn't doing nothing. Let him help you out.
Right. I forgot his last name. If you guys want to check him out, I'll try to get his last name for next time on the show, since we always like to bring up little things we see on Instagram. So that's what I've been checking out lately, how some of these people are doing their thing. Keep it positive, y'all. And this young man that's on the show tonight, he keeps it positive, and Kelly has the opportunity to interview him. He's actually pushing a book about how he met his wife, and that's positive because some people have given up on love. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, it's rough out here, Batman.
I know it's rough. you guys got to go back out there and, just be yourself and, keep your eyes open and your ears.
The married shall not speak on this single life, okay?
Keep your ears
don't even come over here. You don't know. Talking about your Instagram. Now, you sound like a... We not going to say out loud.
Keep your ears to the ground.
Ears to the ground. Oh, I thought you said check your Instagram.
No, I said keep your ears to the ground.
Stay in the know.
Right. Yeah, that's right. And just don't, sometimes guys be testing you out because you seen that show called She's a Gold Digger. gold digging? No, it's a guy that does these little pranks where he be looking raggedy or just pull up on people at a gas station, and then when they treat him wrong, right? He walks off and be getting inside of a McLaren,
some type of luxury, yeah,
like supercars, like, exactly. And then they say, "Oh, hold on, I'm sorry." I'll be cracking up laughing.
No, hold that in, you gold digging mentality person. Right,
suppose you saw a guy. He at the light, and he's driving his urban vehicle. His 2007 Toyota Camry is good on gas. And he at the light, and he waves at you, says, "How you doing?" And you and your little preppy Mercedes, and you just tell you, just roll your eyes at him. And the next time you see he balling some big
you bullheaded, yeah. something. Check this out. Praise the Lord that I will accept compliments from anyone. Yes, yeah, I will. Right. I don't care your disposition in life. You want to sit there and spend your voice on me, that brightens my day. So, right. And a compliment just might go right back to you, or a happy thank you, whatever it may be.
That's right. Because you can't take your good car to Royal Farm and places all the time, You kind of selected where you're trying to keep the miles off your good car, for one.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Royal Farm's got to be with it. Lord Jesus.
Well, it'd be crowded at Royal Farm. You can meet people at Royal Farm. I see, like, friends from years ago.
Just hush up.
Now, watch Kelly be heading to Royal Farm after the show.
Oh my gosh. First of all, Royal Farms is Wawa's is the only places I like to get my gas from, because they give it for the love.
You know, I have some of the best conversations with people at the pump, too. I was talking to people. You know, with COVID, you can't really go see your friends, your neighbors like this. So I've been talking to people at the pump. They always like strike up conversation with me too. So I was like, wow. So I love Royal Farm.
You have that inviting personality.
Yeah, I try to be nice, even with my mask on. All right, here he is, Kelly. Your guest is here, Dr. Yes. Roosevelt Robinson Jr. out of North Carolina. Welcome to Late Night with Jerry Woods Live World. How you doing, sir?
Welcome.
Hello, Jerry and Kelly. How y'all doing tonight?
Awesome. We always have fun. We in Charm City, man. Charm City. Best place
to
be.
Amen. Thank y'all for having me tonight.
Well, we are delighted.
You're welcome, Doc. Well, look, I'm going to be engineering the show, so Kelly's going to conduct the interview, so you guys have a great show. I'm right here if you need me, man.
Thank you, Batman. And thank you so much for being here with us, Mr. Robinson, Mr. Frankie Robinson. I thought that was cute. Please let our listeners know who you are and what it is that you do, sir.
Okay. My name is Dr. Roosevelt Robinson, Jr. I am an author, and I am an independent gospel recording artist. My gospel recording artist's name is Frankie Robinson, as you just said. Mm-hmm. Yes, I was born and raised in Swanson, South Carolina. I was at Calhoun County Public Schools in St. Matthews, South Carolina. I went and got my bachelor's from the International Outcoming Overreach School of Religion and my master's and my doctorate. And I love the Lord. I've been married for 23 years to my wife. We just celebrated last month, June 26th, went to the beach. And a wonderful time.
Wonderful. Yeah. Beautiful. And thank you so much for being with us. Can I call you Frankie?
Yes.
Well, thank you so much. Not to take away from any of your titles, elder, doctor, husband, man of God. Okay? Not to take away from any of those. But we thank you for being here with us tonight, and for wanting to share your newest project, God's Favor, My Wife. And that's the book you just brought out. Before you met your wife, though, had you been married before?
No, ma'am.
So this was your first time being married?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Now that right there is interesting to me. Having been married, you kind of grow from a place, and you work all your
yes.
kinks out. And by the time you hit 20 years, you should have them kinks worked out for the most part. Okay, in my opinion. And since you guys have been together from beginning to end together, I am so interested to know, how did you make it? How did you keep it together?
It was by the grace of God. I tell everybody, yes,
nothing but God.
My relationship with God is what held together.
Okay.
my relationship with God.
Amen. What about when you guys were younger? How was it? When did you all meet? 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s?
Well, I was in my late 20s when I was in my late. Okay. I was in my late 20s when I got married to my wife.
Okay.
And you know, we butt heads the first couple of years of our marriage because we were getting to know one another and learning each other's ways. Both of us were stubborn and headstrong, you know, and so we had to learn each other. I would not argue with her. I would go to the church and lay on the altar and pray my flesh down and ask God to fix it, and ask God to help us, you know.
Amen.
So it was kind of rough for the first couple of years of our marriage. But we learned each other. We learned to appreciate one another and love one another and, you know, keep God first and just, you know, take it as it comes.
Amen. And thank you for that. You said in your bio that you had writing a book as a goal of yours for some time before you actually went through with the project. What was the hesitation at first? Why did you wait so long to let us know how to have God's favor within a marriage? Or matter of fact, what is the book about? I'm sorry, I should have asked you that first. What's the book about, and why did you wait to give us the exposure?
Okay. My apostle back then was my wife's sister, and she prophesied to me and my wife. She told me that I would write a book about my experience and my testimony of how I met my wife and how I walked, I stepped out in faith and how I met my wife. I couldn't understand it back then because, you know, how am I going to write a book about this little, you know, how I met my wife and, you know, how we got together. You know, that's like, you know, that was as far-fetched from back then. But then, you know, in the pandemic for the past 2 years, you know, staying home, quarantined, couldn't go nowhere. And, you know, I had nothing to do. I would try to write a few songs, you know. Couldn't get that together. And I said, Lord, I need something. I got to have something to do. You know, what can I do while I'm here? You know, it's quiet time, just quiet quarantine time. And he said, it's time for you to write that book. Because actually, I forgot about it because I never saw myself as an author. And I didn't know how to write no book. So the spirits, it was time. So I prayed and asked God to help me. And I Googled how to write a book and, you know, educated myself and, you know, got some knowledge. And then I prayed and got on my computer and said, okay, God, help me to put this thing together here now. And I just, you know, started off with, you know, putting the chapters together, titling my chapters, what I'm going to write about, and, you know, started from the intro, the preface, and to the last chapter. And then God has given to me chapter by chapter, you know, what to write and everything.
And here it is. Okay.
Yeah.
Continue.
And here it is, the book, God's Favor, My Wife. I asked God, what should I name it? What should I name this book? And this came to me, God's Favor. Because the Bible says, a man that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth the favor of the Lord. And so I did find favor being married to her, you know. I wrote about that in my book. I don't want to give it away. I want you to go. I want everybody to go read it.
Absolutely. And we would want nothing less. We want our listeners to go ahead and support this project. You know, put it at the forefront of your mind. How can they purchase? Did you self-publish? How did you go about the business part?
Yes, I self-published it. You can purchase my book BarnesandNoble.com, that's BN.com, or you can go to Amazon.com. I have my own website, DrRoosevelt.RobsonJr.com. You can go there to purchase my book and my music.
Amen, amen. And we're going to give you a chance to give that information again towards the end of the interview, just in case our listeners might be tuning in a little later. But in the meantime, please tell us more about your music.
Okay, I have an EP out that's entitled Here We Are. I wrote a song for my wife for our wedding and sung it to her, and I was able to put it on my EP. So that's on there. It's called Sweet Janine. My wife's middle name is Janine, and so I wrote a song and I sung it to her on our wedding day, 23 years ago, and it's on my CD.
Amen. Aren't you such the man of God people pray for? God, send me a God-fearing man, Lord. I need one that will go to church with me and pray with me and not fight with me. So, do you have any sons?
No, I don't have any sons.
Darn it. Brothers, uncles.
No, I'm the only boy in the family.
Ain't that something? Okay, so you're like David, huh? Okay, I see. Now, I am so interested, because you kind of put it out there for me to ponder about. I am so interested why your wife's sister said you guys have such a testimony that it needs to be written in a book. Because you kind of watered it down a little bit. You said, oh, we was together and, you know, God's favor. I'm like, oh, that's nice. But why did she say you have a testimony? Who were you? Or were you always this man of God? Have you always been in church? Or are you like a recovered little knucklehead or something? Like, what happened?
Yeah, I was a preacher in her ministry. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she witnessed the whole thing. She's the one that married us, and, you know, everything. And, you know, it was the Spirit of the Lord, you know, that told her that I would write this book. Because the way I stepped out in faith and how I sought the Lord, and mm-hmm. I didn't know how powerful it was back then. But now, you know, I realized, okay, wow, you know, when you're doing something, you know, you just have that faith and believe in God. My wife and I never dated. I never, had a conversation with her or, you know, anything like that. You know, I just prayed and asked the Lord for my wife and told her what I want. First, I met the wrong woman and we got engaged, and, you know, she was all that I wanted, fleshly wise, you know, mm-hmm. that I liked in a woman. She was light skinned and long hair, cocoa all about shape. I was in my 20s then, back then.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a physical attraction.
Right.
Yeah, I just was in the ministry, and she came in and got saved. She had two little boys. And she started doing praise and worship with me. We didn't have that many guys in the church. You know, so I said, oh, my God, this is my opportunity. She might be my wife. You know, so I prayed mm-hmm. and Lord said, Lord, I want this lady. And everything, because she lived right down the road, a few blocks from me. She used to ride to church with me. Go to church with me. I would bring her to church with her two sons. And we got to know one another, but she was the wrong one. You know, the people got in it. They didn't want us to be together. She wasn't strong enough. She didn't have to be that strong, you know, understand, but she was in and out with me, you know. So it did. I just got hurt, you know, broken, and I got before the Lord a year later and said, okay, Lord, I'm ready to search again. I want you to help me out. You know who you want for me, you know. So I need a strong woman that's going to stand by my side and walk Amen. Together with me in ministry. I turned it back to my purpose. I need somebody to walk with me, my destiny and help with my purpose so we can work together in ministry. And so that was what God did.
Amen. Amen. I love it. And thank you for being transparent with us, Frankie. I appreciate it always. Because we're trying to learn here on Positive Power XXI. We're trying to recover and be better than our yesterdays. And trust you and me, you know, recovery time is necessary and it's healthy. People that just jump around instantly like that, they don't give themselves time to just figure out who they are and what it is that they want, and stop chasing these fleshly things and put some purpose, as you stated, into their walk. And so I'm glad that you said, you know, after you realized that that situation wasn't going to work out, you gave yourself about a year, some time, and you took it to God and asked for a direction. And it was such a blessing also that it was, I'm assuming, your apostle, your wife's sister, she told you about your wife, right? Your now wife. Is that how you all formed the union?
No, she didn't know anything. She didn't know anything about it. She didn't know I was going to marry my wife.
Dang.
That's how powerful and how wonderful it is. And I went on the 21-day consecration after I got out of the hurt, and I served God for a year, just focused on my ministry, serving in the church and everything. And I wasn't going to get in another relationship like that until I was ready, you know. And I thought, okay, after a year went by, I was ready. And I went on the 21-day consecration, and I fasted and prayed, and I shut in the church on the weekend, and I said, I'm not coming out until I hear from God. So I went to God for who he had for me, and I sought the Lord, and the Lord let me know who my wife was. And lo and behold, it was my wife's sister. Dang. I'm sorry, it's my wife-to-be's sister was the pastor, apostle. I didn't tell her. I didn't tell no one. I kept it to myself, and I pursued her. I after God came out of the conference, God showed me, I dreamed about her 2 nights, because I saw the first night. I said, okay, God, this lady last night, now, is this the one you want me to marry? Now make it plain. Confirm it again, show me to it again, because I want to make sure I got the right person this time. So the next night, he showed, I dreamt about her again. I said, okay, God, oh, I got it. I was confident. I believed God, because I asked him. And I knew God would not let me down. I know He would show me, and I trusted God. And so came out of that fast and consecration, that shut-in, and I bought the ring, and I put my plan and strategy together. And it was coming up on Christmas, and I've been asking my apostle, this is my wife to be sister, and I asked her, what was she doing for Christmas? What we got planned for Christmas this year? So we all meet down to my parents' house where we grew up at in the country. And get together and eat and exchange gifts. I said, okay. You mind if I spend Christmas with you all this year? And she looked at me. She was really like, you don't have a family to go to? But she was nice. She said, yes, okay. You're welcome to come. You're welcome to come. Yeah. So I was planning my strategy. I had the ring. I was going to propose to her that Christmas day down there in the country. And that's what I did. I didn't tell her. Nobody in the family knew. I didn't tell my wife to be. And then, she when it was giving out gifts, she was the gift giver. She's the one pull a gift from the tree and read the names from who to who. Yeah. And, oh, my God, it was such a long wait. Because I put my gift on the tree. As time as I got there, I sneaked and put it up under the tree. And my gift was the last gift she pulled out, from who to who. I was like, oh, my God, when is she going to get to my gift? And God had made it to be the last gift. It was the ring, and she opened the ring and said, this is for me. So she was excited. Oh, for me to be from, Minister Robinson. I was like, okay. And she opened it up, and it was the ring. And she was like, and I was like, will you marry me? And she was like, she busted out and started crying. And everybody, all her brothers were like, yeah, they root me on and everything. It was funny because she was the only sister that was not married. They wanted her to marry somebody to take care of them, they could stop worrying about her and everything. And it was what I'm saying, well, give the man an answer, because she was all crying and, emotional. And she said, yes, I'll marry you. She said, yes, I'll marry you. We never dated. She didn't know me. I didn't know her. And so they said, y'all need to go talk. Y'all need to go talk. And they said, it's around the den area and they talk. So we talked and, told each other about each other and planned the wedding for 6 months later, that next year, in June 26th. And so after we got engaged, then we dated and got to know each other to the marriage, to the wedding.
Ah, boo. I'm so jealous. Type of fairy tale proposal. She gone, girl. Congratulations. God's favor is upon you. Yes, I understand the book. Go get the book, y'all. Oh my gosh, that was whoo.
Yeah.
Woo. Again, is anybody planning on making you a brother? I wait. Lord have favor upon me. You said 21-day fast for clarity and strength. Okay. I need to go ahead and fast and pray, and not just for a husband, but for greater goals. But you know what, Frankie? I appreciate this story and how encouraging it was and how positive it was and how it gives me hope that there are men still out in this world and not these little boys with mommy issues. So I'm so grateful for your story and for your wife. She is such a blessing, Mrs. Robinson. She is such a blessing. I'm just wild, honestly. And getting to know each other and dating and having that bond, and that was just beautiful. You guys are beautiful. Congratulations again.
Thank you.
Celebrating. You're welcome. Your anniversary recently. Did you guys enjoy 23rd. The beach?
23rd anniversary. Yes, we did. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. It was really nice. We had a wonderful time.
Absolutely. That's great. That is completely great. Oof, I'm just wiping my tears. Sorry for the stall. I'm just wiping my tears. Like, this is beautiful, Lord. And I always try to tell people about these burning bush miracles that they just waiting to see. Like, no, God's plan is unknown unto us. And as he feeds it to us, we are supposed to be obedient. Amen. And when we are obedient in his plan, it comes together perfectly, baby. And although the devil just might want to get all up and mess it up, God will push us through. And so I'm grateful that he sent you this blessing, and that with clarity, he showed you who your wife was and how to get to her. And so this was definitely a miracle. And I'm so grateful to have taken part in this story today on this interview. And I'm so glad our listeners could tune in and hear how romantic Dr. Robinson really is out here, y'all. Gone to church, but don't chase the pastor. Okay, ladies, don't chase the pastor, Jesus. Dr. Robinson, you, how long were you writing music? Because you said you wrote a song for your wife, and you sang it at your all's wedding, and that you're still writing music now. No, when did music become a major part of your life? Did it come in with ministry?
No, as a little boy, you know, I always knew I could sing as a little boy. And one day as a little boy in the den watching television with my father, watching Gospel Quartet on the TV, we just sitting there enjoying the Gospel Quartet on the TV, and I heard a voice say, "One day you're going to be doing this." And I jumped, and I looked around, and I looked at my dad, and I knew it wasn't him because it was a small, still voice. And my dad don't have a small, well, he have a strong, manly voice, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, my mama wasn't around. Mom was still cleaning somewhere on Saturday. You know, she'd be cleaning the house, cleaning the bathrooms and vacuuming and stuff. So she wasn't around.
Okay.
So I knew it had to be the voice of God, and I held on that to that. And you know, I got saved at 20 years old, and you know, that's when you know I was, because I was, as a little boy, I was quiet and shy, and I was self conscious, and I was fat and overweight. People pick at me all the time in school and everything. So I would close off myself and be in a shell. And I know, you know, I was quiet and shy. I never did want to be talk and be in front of people and everything. So I got saved at 20. God delivered me from all that. And so I was singing in praise and worship and stuff in the church. And, you know, if someone in the family would die, you know, they would ask me to sing because that gift was, came out. They knew that I could sing, you know. And so I would always go to God and ask God for the first song, a song to sing. I wouldn't just sing something someone else wrote when I hear on the radio or whatever. I asked God to give me a song to sing. And I would write the song, and I would sing it. And during my walk with God, as you know, as a young saved man, God used to give me songs, you know, to sing and me to write, and I would sing them, you know, when I get an opportunity to sing. So it started as a young boy, and then in my first few years of, you know, being saved, you know, that writing skill came into fruition.
Okay. And so at this point, do you find that to be a career that you want to maintain now in this social media age of a lifestyle that we're now living?
Yes, because it's the gift that God gave me, and I got to use it, you know, to be a blessing to the people, body of Christ, and people of this world. You know, God gave me that gift to share with the world. Mm-hmm. So I know God is not finished with me yet, so I can plan on letting the Lord continue to use me to be a blessing to others.
Amen. And so what type of music, what's your style? How do you feel about the styles that others are singing as well?
Well, whatever, like, Lord, how the Lord give it to me. I you know, I'm a gospel singer. I love to inspire people through the word of God, and you know, I'm open to anything, you know, anything that's godly, and that's what inspires people. So I'm open to the new styles of contemporary music and anything like that, and music they take from, you know, old R&B songs and make it out of something inspirational. I'm open to all that.
Mm-hmm. That's good to know, because sometimes the music can be kind of rigid, you know. But I'm glad that there's all different type of styles out right now. And sometimes secular music is just never an option to kind of like use as an inspiration for a gospel song. And so I've been seeing a lot of change in the industry lately. But when you're writing your songs, are you inspired just from a message that God sends you? Or are you inspired by your personal experiences? Or how is it that you come up with your inspiration?
All of the above.
Okay, amen.
And the Lord asked him to give me, and he put the song in my spirit, and how it sounds, and how the lyrics go, and give me the lyrics. And, and my experiences, and you're going through things. Yes, the melody and everything comes from the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Do you compose as well? The music?
Nah, I just write and just sing it, whatever the Lord gives me. I try to get musicians to put the music to it and,
Okay.
Do their thing. I'm not a musician. I'm just a singer. I'm rather than a singer. I let the musicians do their part.
Absolutely, right? We have our gifts and others
stay in
have
my lane.
Okay, exactly. We're not trying to make a will. We're just trying to use it for ourselves. Amen. I stay in my lane too. And although God has given me many talents, I know what I can't do. And so therefore we move forward with our gifts and we connect with others with their gifts. Amen. So Dr. Robinson, it was such a pleasure to have you with us. Do you have any inspiring words for our listeners tonight or any young men that are trying to live a more godly life and they're just struggling or caught up in the world? What type of message would you give them?
Okay, to the young men out there today, I know it's kind of hard to live, but it seems hard to you, in your mind today to live for the Lord, but it's not. When I got saved and gave my life to Christ, it was like the best experience I ever felt. I was like, wow, if I know it's going to be like this, I would have got saved a long time ago. And I got saved at 20 years old, so it was the joy of the Lord and learning about God. And, I was raised up in the church. And everything. I was raised from the Baptist church and everything. And so I thought I knew God, and I knew of him. But when I really got saved and I repented of my sins and asked the Lord to come to my heart, and he began to live inside of me, the Holy Spirit began to speak to me and fill me with that joy and that peace. Mm-hmm. And going to church and learning about his word and being in a Bible-based church, I was so full of joy. I saw how God, healed people and delivered people, and people fall out under the power of God. And this little revival with my pastor, and how God used her, and she just blew on people, and they fall out under the power of God. I didn't know all this was going on. I was like, oh, my God, if I, being saved would be like this. I was got saved a long time ago. I didn't know all this was, about God. And God was about all this right here. Miracles, and people fall out in the power of God. People shouting and dancing, and speaking in tongues. I'm like, oh, my God, what is this? This is like a new thing to be like, like I was like a kid in a candy store. Mm-hmm. And so, young man, it's not too hard living for God. I guarantee you, if you give your heart to the Lord and the Lord comes to your life, you'll be full of joy. It will be the best experience and the best thing that you ever done. Get a relationship with God. Romans 10:9-10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, that thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So Romans 10:9-10, Acts 2:38 say, repent ye and be baptized in the name of Jesus. And so, do those things. Get your word and do those things. Give your life to Christ. It's the best thing you can ever do. If God, he'll lead and guide you. He'll direct you. The Holy Spirit will teach you. He will let you know things to come. He'll let you know who your wife is. He'll let you know what you'll be doing in your life, your destiny, what your destiny is. And that's such a joy. In the presence of the Lord is a fullness of joy. Get in the presence of God. You don't have to, you maybe not be able to shut into the church like I did, but you can go and shut up in your rooms, wherever you sleep at, or get your hotel for a weekend. Let's go shut up in your hotel room with no disturbance and just pray and seek the Lord and for answers and directions in your life. It's such a wonderful experience. I'm telling you, I was only 20 years old when I got saved, and it was the best thing that I ever did. So I encourage you all, it's not too hard living for God. It's not too hard living holy. You know, if you let God keep you, you know, you don't have to be out here running from woman to woman, you know, having sex, you know, because that's a sin. You know, it's a joy living for God and living holy and let God bless you. And God will keep you. You know, He's able to keep that which you commit unto Him. So it's a wonderful life. I encourage every man and every woman, every boy and girl, every adult woman and man, you know, living for God was the best thing that you could ever do.
Amen. And thank you so much for that encouraging message. It was truly a blessing, and I hope it blessed others whose ears it fell upon. You're such an encouragement. You know, you're the type of energy that people need to have in their friend circle. You know, it's just, I can't have a bad day when I'm around somebody that's so connected and so excited for God. Do you think, here's a church question now. Do you think that it's important to have that relationship with God through the church or to form it? Regardless,
when you say form it, what do you mean by that?
Some people don't believe they need to be in a building to understand or to have a relationship with God.
Okay, well, you know, that is true to a certain extent, because I got saved in my car, in my Chrysler Baron, GTS Turbo. You know, I got saved in my car, you know, when I was got graduated from high school, went to college, and I was like, oh, I'm free. I'm out of my mom and daddy's house. I can do what I want to do. I can smoke, drink, party, and that's what I did. Smoke reef and get high, you know, smoke weed and got high, did all that, partied. I was a party animal. I just go to clubs and dance and, you know, do all those things. But God keeps sending, save, sanctify, Holy Ghost people in my life. Like, you want to come to our Bible study? You know, we're having a Bible study here on campus, and you know, God is sending all these saved people in my pathway, trying to get me back on the right track. And I'm like, no, I'm not. Oh God, no, I'm not thinking about God right now. I'm living for God, I'm free. I'm living my life. I want to live my life. Mm-hmm. And even when I went home on the weekend, you know, some of my friends and associates got saved, and they were telling me, I'm like, oh my God, what are you trying to do, God? You trying to get my attention or something? You trying to tell me something? And, you know, and I just kept that was in the back of my mind, because I keep meet people that want, you know, give my life to the Lord. And so one day, One of my friends, and so she's a young lady, she really got a hold of me. She let me have it. Now, Frank, you know you got that great voice that God to sing for the Lord. You know God want to use you. You need to get saved and get your life. Like, I got saved. You told me her testimony. I got saved, and it's a wonderful life. And, you know, she gave me that scripture, Romans. I was quoting Romans 10:9-10, and everything. She was a witness to me, and she really let me have it. You know, and so I went home that in my spirit, and going home from my house that night. And I was just, you know, I was just thrilled because God kept sending these people, and it kept ringing to me, and I started getting scared. I said, oh, God got something for me to do. I need to be the answer. I said, and I thought about hell. I said, oh, God, I don't want to go to hell. And I'm not a fool now. I've heard that God has sent too many people in my pathway. He got something for me to do. I need to yield myself and do what the Lord said to do. So I was at that point, okay, I yield my stop at the stop sign. And I repented of my sins. I cried out to the Lord. I said, God, I'm so sorry. I repent for all my sins. Come to my heart, change my life and everything. And I got saved right there at the stop sign. And I went home, got on my knees, got my Bible, and I read that scripture she gave me, Romans 10:9-10. And I repented again, and I quote that scripture. And I, you know, I believe right then that I was saved. The next day I went to my grandmama's house, and my cousin said, hey, Frankie, how you doing? I said, I'm blessed. And she looked at me and said, you saved? I said, yes, I am. I believed it, and I spoke it into existence. I've been living for God ever since.
Amen.
So, yeah. So you can get saved anywhere, but in order to grow, you have to be. The Bible said, "Don't forget to assemble yourself together with the saints of God."
The assembly.
And so you got to have a pastor. You have to be in a church to stay strong. Someone to encourage you and be around strong people that can pray for you. And you have to have a covering, you know, in order to grow. And you know, really stay safe and stay strong, so people can hold you accountable and help you on your walk to Christ.
Amen. And thank you for that message. And we all need help, and accountability is something some people just don't want to accept. And so I thank you for putting it out there so plainly. I do apologize. We have to wrap it up, but it's been such a pleasure having you on, and I truly enjoy talking with you, Frankie, so much so. And perhaps maybe you could come back and be a guest on the Kelly Holland Show. That would be a blessing.
All right. Okay, great.
But please let our listeners know how they can find you, how they can buy your book, how they can listen to your music, how they can purchase that as well. Please let them know how to get in contact with you.
Praise God. I have my own website, drroosevelt.robinsonjr.com. That's drroosevelt.robinsonjr.com. You can purchase my book there. It has links to purchase my book and my music there on my website. You can connect with me on Facebook under Dr. Roosevelt Robinson Jr. Send me a friend request. And you can also email me on my website, too, at drroosevelt.robinsonjr.com if you want to get in contact with me.
Amen. Amen. And thank you so much for letting us have that information. How much does the book go for right now at Barnes & Noble? Do you know?
It's not that much. I can't think about what's off my head. I don't want to lie.
Amen to that. Amen to that. Listen, because they set up the deal. I know the back end. And so they set up the deal.
If I say one thing and go there, it's not that. They're like, well, he lied. You know, no, I want to lie on the deal now.
No. You take your tail to Barnes & Noble. You go ahead and put some singles on Amazon, people, and go ahead and support Dr. Robinson on this day. Batman, do you have any last words before we pray out?
Well, Dr. Robinson, we'll see you Saturday morning. Did you get the
invite,
Kelly Howell?
I will be there.
You just had to put it out there, Batman. I could have recorded the show on Saturday. Nobody would have known it was this week. But here you go. You showing off today, boy. I don't know who rippled your feathers, but we're going to pray for you. We're going to pray for you tonight, actually.
I miss you, Kelly. But anyway,
okay, baby. Yeah. We gonna work this weekend.
Yeah, we working this weekend. Yeah, we working everybody. I just want to shout out to Crystal Henry. She's producing a new show. Great, great show. If you want to become a guest, hit her up at Power the Gospel. I think it's Gmail, or you can hit me at JerryWasLive@gmail.com, and as well as Kelly and Paula's show. And also, shout out to Bree Smith, too, doing her thing also. So I'll see all three of you on Saturday. God is good.
Yes.
Yeah, and Dr. Robinson.
Like
yeah, and Dr. Robinson, day. Too. And Dr. Robinson, thank you so much. Dr. Robinson actually been on a tour. He's been doing a radio tour and TV tour with us. So hopefully you guys will get a chance to listen to a story over and over again and be inspired. Because sometimes that's what happens. Things have to be repeated over and over for it to sink in, just like watching a Coca-Cola commercial. Right. Eventually, you want a Coca-Cola and not a Pepsi, right? So that's how this game works. So hopefully, you just keep catching them and feel inspired the way Kelly just met him. And
you can
feel the energy. Yeah.
I love his energy.
Yeah,
I
loved it. I enjoyed the interview. Mm-hmm. It was a very good interview. And he will also you'll catch him again. If you miss the stories on demand, but you can catch him again with Kimmy Kim.
Mm-hmm.
Two of our best programs. Kimmy Kim and Kelly Holland right here on Positive Power. All right, Dr. Robinson, thank you so much, sir, for sharing and being so transparent.
You're welcome.
Amen.
All right, we're going to keep this short and sweet.
All right.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for this interview. May you bless us and keep us in perfect peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Okay, listeners, just tune in every Thursday between 10 and 11 so you can feel the power of late night with Jerry Rose Live and Kelly Holland. And never forget to tap back into your unspeakable joy. Good night, everybody.
Can you feel the power? Can you feel the power? Feel the power the devil is. Worldwide podcast.
Hey, 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 my name is Davis and I'm from Haiti, but I live in Dominican Republic. I'm here, Positive Power 21, Jerry Ross Live, worldwide.
Hello, people. Greetings all the way from the motherland, ladies, Nigeria, Africa. This is your homeboy, Pablo the Generous. Send a shout out to all you all with the love of Christ. I listen always to the Jerry Ross Show, and I advise you to do the same. The best place to be. Hallelujah, David.
God love you, and I love you too.